me show you how to enjoy all the lights and the bells and the whistles.
We say enjoy the show.
Means we all enjoy the show.
Boys enjoy the show.
Hope y'all enjoy the show.
We all enjoy the show. Any questions, holler them out.
You enjoying the show?
Now it's time to let loose.
Here we go. Everybody ready?
Woohoo!
The River Network presents Dimitri live and dangerously local on River Talk 1290, 100.1, 1430, and 100.9. Time to get your morning up to speed with Dimitri live and dangerously local, a River Network production.
Our power bills are too high. We're spending thousands of dollars every month in the electric company, and this has got to stop. What is going on here? People are losing their minds.
So we're going to address that on our show today. We've got State Senator Chris Rose, new state senator from West Virginia, representing Marshall County and other parts of the 2nd Senatorial District. Full disclosure, I love this guy, but in a very manly, non-threatening, completely heterosexual sort of way. I endorsed him when he ran against this rhino, Maroney, who's full of baloney in Marshall County. And Chris Rose, a real patriot, a real Trump guy, one of us, defeated him, which is great. I don't want to take all the credit for that because that, of course, would be wrong. Everybody knows how much Dimitri values humility, but Chris did a great job, too. I mean, he did his part. So he is on the Energy Committee and in the state Senate in Charleston. And so we're going to be talking with him about these high energy bills. Also, something completely different, but also very, very important, and that is protecting us from the feds, protecting us from them spying on us and essentially making privacy illegal. There's legislation going on right now. Chris Rose is an integral part of this, and so we'll be talking with him about that as well. Later on, live exclusive interview with April Brock, yes, from St. C. She's works with Ignite Hope, and this is a wonderful organization, Stacey Gilson's organization, that is doing great, great work to let the public know about human trafficking and what is being done with these poor little girls and boys in some cases. And we're going to be talking with April about this big deal charity event they have coming up in a few days. And so she's going to be our live exclusive in-studio guest for that. But first, State Senator Chris Rose, welcome back to Dimitri Live and Dangerously Local. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, Dimitri. Good morning. How are you?
Doing great. How's Amber, by the way? I've never met Amber. I've heard so much about her. I hear she's the brains of the operation, but I've never actually spoken with her or met her. You never brought her in here. Why is that?
Oh, well, you know, she is a nurse. She's my healthcare hero. So she's obviously very busy being what she does best, healing the state, healing her people. And she's actually a charge nurse now, so I'm very proud of her and what she's accomplished. And, you know, you're exactly right. Behind every successful man is definitely a strong, beautiful, intelligent woman.
No question about it. So what's it feel like being a new state senator? You knocked off Maroney, which, you know, was full of baloney. And, God, the work that you put in to do this is just absolutely unbelievable. What's it feel like now being a state senator?
Well, I mean, considering we got a conservative Senate president, we've got a conservative governor for the first time in my lifetime in the state of West Virginia. We have now a conservative Senate majority, and that's very important. We had a Republican one, but now we have a conservative one. I think all the hard work we put into that primary and, you know, defeating a two-term incumbent with a head over $1.2 million, we feel some vindication right now. But now it's time to get to work. You know, getting elected is the easy part. As hard as it was going against $1.2 million and all the work that went into that, that's the easy part. Now we got to roll our sleeves up and get stuff done in the Charleston Swamp.
Oh, my goodness. Well, let's get started. How do you get stuff done to lower our electric bills? People here in the Upper Ohio Valley, Northern Panhandle, are losing their minds with these high electric bills. Now, you also are a fourth-generation coal miner. I really love you. I think you're a terrific guy. Fourth-generation coal miner. Also, you work for a power company. And so you have a unique perspective on all of this now being on the Energy Committee of the State Senate in Charleston. Give us an overview first about what the heck is going on with the grid, what is going on with the power companies, electricity, and all of that. And then we'll start narrowing it down to how you can get my bill lowered.
So our electric grid is more strained than it has ever has been, and your electric bill cost is higher than it's ever been. And the two got one thing in common. It's because retiration of coal-fired generation. So West Virginia is traditionally within the three cheapest east of the Mississippi in energy costs because we are a very coal-driven state when it comes to electric generation. But when you see coal-fired power plants retiring and they're being replaced by, you know, these things put up gigawatt hours, and they're being replaced by extremely expensive, extremely subsidized, and very inefficient wind and solar that put out maybe anywhere from 5 to 20 megawatts. You're replacing gigawatts with something that only puts out 5 to 20 megawatts. And it's a lot more expensive to do so. And we also have another problem in West Virginia where we have corporate welfare for electric utilities. So what I mean by that is there's a term they use called regulated. And basically they could be as mismanaged and poor ran as they want to be. And we guarantee them a certain percentage per megawatt. So they could invest in very expensive, inefficient wind and solar, and then they can go out and charge the ratepayer whatever they got to pay, not only to break even, but to have a certain percentage of profit. That is corporate welfare. That is wrong. And that's what's leading to a lot of these high electric costs. Because if you look it up, the cost of megawatt generation for coal-fired power plants in West Virginia is still the third lowest in the country. But that's not showing up that way on your power bill.
My goodness gracious. Now, let me play the devil's advocate. I'm a big believer in coal. I love coal. I think coal is great. I think coal has gotten a really bad rap. I've got no problem with carbon dioxide. Plants don't have a problem with it, so I certainly don't have a problem with it. But the problem seems to be natural gas and fracking, that has taken over, replaced coal. And we do have a lot of fracking here in the Upper Ohio Valley. So does natural gas replacing coal mean the rates go up, or is it a wash, or what is the impact of natural gas and fracking on energy production here in the Valley?
So for the record, I do support natural gas as well. You're right. We have a lot of it here in the Valley, and Senate District 2 actually has the most coal, oil, and gas in the entire state of West Virginia. So we are the energy hub for the state when it comes to natural resources. And the good thing about natural gas, you know, and we do have a new gas-fired power plant being developed in Doddridge County. It won't go on for a couple of years because it takes time to build these things, but they are a wash. They're very similar in rates. So the natural gas isn't the issue. Coal is not the issue. Those are actually the answer to the problem. It's when the federal government subsidizes a very expensive electricity in wind and solar to the tune of $21 per megawatt. And then right in behind that, you have the state giving special tax breaks to wind and solar. And then also subsidizing it is what they choose to build this more expensive stuff. And even though it subsidizes on the front end, they're allowed to come in behind that. Also, with the legislation that was passed about 10 years ago, on your power bill, you'll see something called an environmental surcharge. What that is where legislation was passed that gave them permission to put a hidden tax on you to continue for them to go out and build wind and solar projects. It's totally wrong. It's a hidden tax. And also, another thing that incentivizes this is they have the coal-fired power plant is taxed at real property value. I'm not the biggest fan of taxes, period, but if you're going to tax a coal-fired power plant at real property value, why is a wind farm or solar farm only taxed at salvage value? It's another hidden incentive, another hidden break, and that's how they get this stuff in the door, because companies say, well, I could put this for nothing, but then the electric costs are so high, that's what really gets passed on to the customer. And then they have to go recoup the cost of that. And then the only person that suffers is the taxpayer customer. While the company is regulated, they're guaranteed profit, they're laughing all the way to the bank.
This is absolutely unbelievable. This is the first I've ever heard of this. Now, Chris, did all of this happen when the Democrats ran West Virginia, or did this happen when the Republican establishment, the RINOs, ran West Virginia?
So the regulation part of this, where they were guaranteed profit, that was put in place when the Democrats ran the state for 84 straight years. The loophole for the environmental surcharge and the salvage rate for wind and solar actually happened under the Republican establishment. Oh, wow. You got to place blame where it goes, and I'm a straight shooter.
Oh, wow. Was this under Jim Justice or who?
This would have been under Jim Justice's first term.
My God. So now that we – now, Patrick Morrissey, would you say that this guy is a Republican, like an establishment Republican, or is he one of us? Is he a MAGA conservative? And if so, is he going to correct these outrages?
He is definitely a MAGA conservative. You got to remember, they spent over $13 million in Republican primary. And by they, I mean the Republican establishment. Spent over $13 million in the Republican primary to try to make sure Patrick Morsi did not win that primary. You know, Don Jr. came in and helped Patrick, and, you know, other people did as well. But when the establishment, so, for example, they spent $1.2 million on the state Senate seat in West Virginia against me. That's an all-time record for a Republican primary, let alone a general. Very similar to Patrick. No person running for governor ever had that amount of money spent against them. So, I mean, when you see a candidate having that much money spent against them in a Republican primary, they're probably a true conservative. They're probably actually MAGA. And, you know, Morsi was willing to, you know, be a very good voice for other candidates on the ballot. Myself, Senator Patricia Rucker, Senator Tom Willis, who ran against the former Senate president. Morsi was very vocal and didn't have to be. You know, he could have just focused on his own race. Polling was tight, but he wanted MAGA Republicans to win. So he put his money and his endorsement behind a lot of good folks, risked his own race to do so, but he knew it was for the betterment of West Virginia. So far, he's talked the talk and he's walked the walk, and I'm very excited to work with him.
Well, that is fantastic news. It really is. Now, question. How soon can you fix all of these problems so we can have lower electric bills?
Hoping we can start at this session. If not, then I'm definitely going to be very vocal to the people of West Virginia on the voting records. Voting records matter. So we introduce legislation, start tackling these issues, and if people in Charleston vote against helping the people of West Virginia unleash American energy, get our costs back down, like coal, oil, and gas, get our electric costs back to where they should be, then the people of West Virginia need to know that, and they need to be held accountable to the ballot box. So we're going to start the session chipping away at this, and, you know, the new Senate president is the former energy chair who also supports coal, oil, and gas, and now that he's the Senate president, we'll be able to push that agenda. And I don't think the Senate's going to be the issue on this. We had a lot of big wins in the Senate, but the House has still got a little bit of, you know, a little bit of issues with some of its leadership. But we're going to, between the governor's mansion and the Senate, we're going to put pressure on the House to do the right thing and get this done.
All right. And you said you're going to be chipping away at this. Let me play the devil's advocate and say, why don't you just have one simple bill that fixes every one of the problems that you just mentioned in this first part of our interview here?
So in the state of West Virginia, we have what they call the single issue bills, and we'll have to introduce probably three or four to address this, but it's still something I'm willing to do this session. You know, I mean, we're still going to do it all this session and every special session and every session after that until it's done. I'm not just going, you know, if they vote down the bill one time, I'm just going to go, oh, well, they beat me and go away. I'm not like that. I'm the bull in the china shop. I'm going to keep introducing it, keep being vocal. And I'm very confident we can get a lot of it done this session. I mean, I really am. I really think, like, far as I already have bills enrolled to remove the special tax break for wind and solar on being taxed at salvage value compared to real property value. The Senate president has a bill that will deregulate these power companies to where they have to work for profit instead of corporate welfare.
Excellent, excellent. We're going to talk more about that. I got a short break here coming up, a hard break with the news. But so far, I'm absolutely loving what I am hearing. Live exclusive interview, State Senator Chris Rose, West Virginia, representing the 2nd Senatorial District, which includes Marshall County. He is one of the up-and-coming superstars in politics in the state, and maybe in the nation someday.